It's really apt what we preach. Oh, I can hear myself. What we're preaching on, Pentecost and the gifts of the Spirit, because of what David has just said. If you want to have a go at preaching, praise God. Because I tell you something that you might be amazed about. I'm not particularly special, yet I do it. We can all do it because God has made us amazing people. You are amazing. So we're looking at Pentecost. A great day today because it's Pentecost. We celebrate Easter and we celebrate Christmas all the time, but so often we can leave Pentecost out. But it's an amazing time. Before we look at the sermon, I want to quickly have a look at what happened Pentecost. I don't know about you, but for years I thought Pentecost started in Acts 2. When the Spirit came down, when people started speaking in tongues, I thought that was what was called Pentecost. But it wasn't. It was a festival that happened years before. First, it was in Exodus, and it was called the Feast of Weeks. That happened 50 days after Passover. So remember what the disciples have just experienced. Jesus has just died at Passover, before Passover. So this is 50 days on from that. To put Pentecost into a bit of context, I want to have a look at the last few weeks, what's happened just before Acts 2. And I want you to put your emotions in the disciples. What would you have been like if you was a disciple? Listen to what happened in the last 10 or 12 weeks. 10 or 12 weeks ago, 4,000 people was fed with just a snack. But they all ate loads. The miracles that God was doing, Jesus was doing, was phenomenal. There was this transfiguration where people saw him glow like nothing on earth. That would have been amazing. Can you imagine what you would have been like if you was a disciple? You'd have been up there, euphoric. There is nothing that's going to touch us. The King of Glory is in power on earth. It would have been amazing. But a couple of days afterwards, he started talking about his death. Not once, not twice, but three times he says he is going to die. Oh, you're up there, but then you start to come down. You start to think that God is going to leave you. The emotional roller coaster. Jesus then brings his disciples back to Jerusalem with these words, I am going to die, to be killed. I'm going to be tried and I am going to be put to death. How would you have been on that journey back? Probably took a day, 2 days to get there. You'd have been thinking the worst, thinking about all the things that's going to be happening to Jesus and probably the things that are going to be happening to you. Am I going to die? Am I going to be beaten and tried and put in prison like Jesus is going to be? Because he's promised that. That's what's going to happen. You'd have been scared. You'd have been worried and you'd have been confused at how it's gone so wrong from a couple of weeks ago. And what happens when they get to Jerusalem? They are hailed as kings. The streets are lined with people. They're cheering, Hosanna to the Son of David. Palms are being put on the ground. He's hailed a king. All your fears on that journey had been wiped away. And Jesus was magnificent again. He was majesty in Jesus. He was king. A couple of days later, after this triumphant entry, after the euphoria of being presented with all these people cheering, the same crowd that were cheering were now jeering and baying for his blood, where Jesus is accused, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death. The disciples did what anyone would have done. They ran. They saw him crucified, they saw him bleed, they saw him die, and they saw him buried. It is all over. But 3 days later, he rises from the dead, he meets a couple of people, And then for 40 days, he goes on a little tour, meeting, greeting, eating with people, his disciples, his friends, his trusted colleagues. For 40 days, this dead person, which they knew had died, they saw the evidence, they buried him. He was there with them. I can't even imagine what the disciples were going through. This roller coaster will have left the disciples in a place of utter confusion as to what's going to happen next. And now we get to Acts 1. The 40 days where Jesus has been walking and talking with them ends like this. Jesus says to them, "I am going away. Wait for me. Wait for the Spirit to come." And then he starts to float. He starts to go away, and in bodily form he is taken from them in the clouds and he ascends into heaven. The second time that they have lost him. At the crucifixion they thought it was all over, and 40 days afterwards they think it's all over again. And now we get to Pentecost. This celebration that all the Israelites would have been celebrating. Everyone would have known about it. It was a really one of the big celebrations. We get to Acts 1. And we're going to be looking specifically at the gifts of the Spirit. Specifically speaking in tongues. What happened at Pentecost was amazing. We're going to be doing a lot of flicking around the Bible. I've tried to keep as many of them on the screen just so that you don't have to flick around. But if you want to follow along, it's going to be in Acts 1 and 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, but flicking back into 12 as well. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to start by reading the first Acts 2, the first 8 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews of every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these people speaking Galileans? How is it then we each hear him speaking in our native tongue?" I think, what's his name? Stuart. Stuart said it. What would you have given to be with Jesus? What would you have given to have been in this room when this happened? Oh, I'd give everything. I'd give everything to experience that. That would have been amazing. Pentecost. But that was for then, wasn't it? That was for many years ago. And it's not for us now. Or is it? The Holy Spirit is in us all now. If you believe in God, if you have received faith in God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Don't let anyone tell you differently. The Holy Spirit's in you. The gifts of the Spirit are what are given to us as is needed and as the Spirit sees fit. So I'm going to look at 4 points of what it means to receive the gifts of the Spirit. And in particular, I'm going to be speaking about speaking in tongues. 4 points the disciples experienced and 4 points we will need to experience too. First one's patience. It's not in our timing. It's not in our desire. Let's have it now. We're a fast food nation, aren't we? We want things now. We order something from Amazon and look in disgust when it says 2 to 3 days delivery and we pay the extra pound to get it tomorrow. We're a fast food nation. We want things now. The Holy Spirit will come with patience. Prayer. You see the gifts of the Spirit being released in the Bible, and so often what happened before was prayer. in prayer, we can see and we can experience the Holy Spirit in ways that just doesn't normally happen. Purpose. It's not to make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. There's a purpose to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose for why he blesses us and continues to bless us. And there's always power. Maybe not the violent wind that we hear about in Acts 2, but wouldn't that be fabulous? If the roof just blew off because of this violent wind, granted we'd have to get that under insurance, but wow, what a time that would be. We want to see that again. We want to see the power of God come in that way again. There is always power with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these. Patience. I'm always amazed when you see when the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen amazing things. Things that we're never going to see. Things that we are probably never going to see. Raising of the dead. Feeding 9,000 people with 2 snacks. I just think that's amazing. He's amazing. But in all of that time, they saw him. They ate with him. They didn't receive the Spirit because Jesus was still with them. So why didn't they receive the Spirit straight away, as soon as Jesus left? They had to wait another week, maybe even 10 days. But they have to wait for the gift of the Spirit. When Jesus left them in Acts 1, he says this. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my that my Father promises, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We love to think that things happen now. Here I am. Oh, he's not here. The Holy Spirit doesn't exist because he didn't zap me immediately. It happened at Pentecost that they were waiting, that they were hoping, that they were praying. That they were in that upper room expecting the Romans to come in and take them away because Jesus had gone. And in their waiting, Jesus came. But that was only 10 days. That's all right, isn't it? We can wait 10 days. But even later in the Bible, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, the Corinthians there, even there, hadn't all received the gift of the Spirit. I wish that every one of you could speak in tongues. Even there, they weren't receiving the tongues. That was 25 years later. The gifts of the Spirit are as God sees fit, as God gives out. There's patience in waiting. Patience is a lesson that the disciples needed. Patience was a lesson that the new Christians in the Bible needed. And patience sometimes is a lesson that we need. The gifts of the Spirit are for us all. But sometimes they don't come as we expect. Why? Because they're a gift from God. They're a gift that is given to us as God sees fit. Speaking in tongues is a gift from God. It's not something that we earn. It's not an immediate right that we have as Christians. People expect that as soon as you get baptized, you're going to come out speaking in tongues, prophesying, and having words of knowledge. Sometimes it works like that, and praise God when it does. But sometimes it doesn't. Paul writes concerning these gifts, all these works are from one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Have you received spiritual gifts? Praise God, because that's what he desired of you. Have you received spiritual gifts? Praise God. Because it's not because of us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. The second point is prayer. We see this amazing example in Pentecost, in this upper room, 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And what were they doing? Whew, what do we do now? Let's go back to our old jobs. That's what they did when he died. Some of them were back fishing. But no, they didn't. In Acts 1, we read this wonderful phrase. They were all joined together constantly in prayer. Who prays constantly? Prayer constantly doesn't mean sitting on your knees, your hands together. It means just being with God. Just talking with God. Being constant with God. And that's what they were. Being constantly in prayer was their default position. They had 3 years with Jesus. They had lived with him. The last 10 years had been the most incredible roller coaster of emotion, the last 10 weeks. Jesus had gone, yet they were constantly in prayer. And in that prayer, the Holy Spirit came. If ever there was a time to come and pray, it was in the midst of what they had been going through. They were in prayer, and God stepped in a miraculous way. Prayer. We are told to eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire. I have said a number of times up here, and I say this because people may feel the same. I was at a church that's told me I wasn't a real Christian. A real Christian because I hadn't spoken in tongues. I wholeheartedly, completely disagree with them. But it made me question, am I really a Christian? And it made me eagerly desire them. Oh, wow, I eagerly desired them because I knew I weren't a real Christian because these Christians had told me. So I prayed. I prayed. I read the Bible. I fasted. I asked God. I badgered him regularly that I would have these gifts of the Spirit. I eagerly sought these gifts. And do you know what happened? Nothing. For about 2 years. And I was at a wedding. Something completely different. And as I was praying for the people that were there, that were getting married, I suddenly realised I couldn't understand what I was saying. Weren't in my timing. It weren't because of anything I had done. But it was because I prayed. I believe. Because I eagerly sought those gifts. And because the Holy Spirit said, right, now is the right time. I waited and I eagerly sought. Do we eagerly seek the gifts of the Spirit? Tongues is wonderful. Don't get me wrong, it's wonderful. But there are so many gifts that the Holy Spirit are desiring to give out. Do you eagerly seek them? 1 Corinthians 14 writes this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. It goes on to say especially the gift of prophecy because prophecy edifies the church. For that reason, for this verse, many people call the gift of tongues the baby gift or the gift that's not all that important, the little gift. How dare we say that there is a little gift that the Holy Spirit gives us? It's the Holy Spirit's gift. How can we poo-poo it and say it's not that important? It's a wonderful gift of tongues. Tongues is a heavenly prayer. It's a way of speaking when you just haven't got the words to say. When we really struggle, we don't understand what we need to say, we can just allow the Holy Spirit to work through our mouth and allow these words to come out as a heavenly prayer. I've seen people come to the front wanting the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they just stand there with their lips tightly shut, waiting for this thing to take over their body. And for them to start speaking, that's not how it happens. So often it's when you are praising God, when you are outwardly speaking, and you are thanking God for who he is and for what he's done in your life, that just you just notice something changes, and then you stop understanding what you're saying and you start praying in tongues. It's as we speak, God intervenes. Romans 8 says this: in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I didn't know anything about the London thing until this morning. I didn't hear about it last night. But you hear about that. What can we pray? What on earth can we pray? It's wonderful where God can just intervene and pray for us. There's nothing we can say that will make what happened yesterday right. But God can pray for us and with us and through us as we don't know what to say. The third point is that there is a purpose to the gifts of the Spirit. There is always a purpose. God distributes the gifts as he sees fit, in his timing, in our prayers, and in our patience, but there's always a purpose. In Acts 2, we see that the very purpose was spreading the good news. That was the whole point of the gospel, the speaking in tongues. That was the whole point of the manifestation of the Spirit, was that other people would hear the good news, and hundreds heard. Hundreds heard. Speaking in tongues, when interpreted, when someone else hears, I need to change. When someone else can hear what is being said, and they just get this quiet voice in their head as someone prays out in tongues, and you think, well, where did that come from? Don't just keep it to yourself. That's when you need to stand up and say, because that's probably what the interpretation was. And an interpretation builds the church. It builds the church up. So if someone prays out in tongues and you get this voice in your head thinking, ooh, that was odd, don't keep it to yourself. Because that's God moving in you, saying, build up my church by saying this out. Who's been in a prayer meeting where they've been thinking, oh, I need to pray about so-and-so. Oh, I need to pray about so-and-so. Well, I won't say it now. Oh, I can't pray after that prayer. That was a really good prayer. I won't pray after that. And you've got this person on your mind, and then from the other side of the room, someone prays the same prayer. Has that ever happened to you? Coincidence? Or was it God speaking to you, but where you weren't willing to pray, he asked someone else? Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in this violent wind. Yes, the Holy Spirit can come in power, but he can also come in a quiet voice. We need to be listening for those quiet voices. Speaking in tongues also builds up individuals. I will never get tired of speaking in tongues because it's wonderful. There is such a freedom in it. When you're listening to worship music and you just speak in tongues while the worship music's going, it builds you up. It builds you up and refreshes your spirit. I've said this before, but when I used to go out for prayer walks, I've done it even there. Had my eyes shut, walking down a perfectly straight road, praying in tongues and worshipping God, and open my eyes and there's a person almost I'm going to bump into them. And that was a bit weird. But it was wonderful. There is freedom in it, and the Holy Spirit can build up individuals as we use the gifts that he gives. There are three purposes of the Holy Spirit gifts in speaking in tongues, but the only main and real purpose is to give glory to God. It's not because of how wonderful I am. It's not because of how brilliant you are. Or it's not because of how not good you are that you haven't received it. It's because of God. And it's to glorify God, the only reason for spiritual gifts. The meaning of Pentecost is God's equipping his church with the power of his Spirit so that he will be glorified amongst the nations. And lastly, power. The Holy Spirit comes in power. However it appears, if it is that small voice, don't think it's any less than a great and violent wind. There is power in the Holy Spirit. The fullness of God is in us. The fullness of God is in us. Suddenly there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. But so often it can also be a still small voice that talks to us. The prophets longed for the gifts of the Spirit to be poured out. We read that in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel. They longed for the day when the Holy Spirit will be released and poured out on even the Gentiles. That's us lot. Even us. The prophets knew that the fullness of the Holy Spirit was coming, but they didn't get to see it. We are in that position where we see it. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is in all of us. I say this so often because people say that they're just not good enough. I'm going to swap. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is in you. The gift of the Holy Spirit will come as God sees fit. As we wait in patience, as we eagerly seek, that's important. That's our part of the role. We eagerly seek that God will bless us. Joel says this, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, you old men, unfortunately that includes me now, will dream dreams, and you young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in these days. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for us. Do you speak in tongues? If not, do you want to? Do you long to? Have you been praying that God will release that in you? Do you have prophetic words? Do you have words of knowledge? Words that keep coming into your head that you just don't speak out? Now's the time. The Holy Spirit is in us in the fullness of power, but so often as Christians we can live in our own strength and do nothing about it. Do you long for the gifts of the Spirit? As the worship team come back and close with some songs, there's going to be a time where people will, if you really seek the Holy Spirit, that you will come to the front. Please come to the front. When you come to the front, don't wait for people to come and pray with you. Just start speaking out aloud words of thanks and praise to God. And someone will come and pray. If you have the gift of the Spirit and you feel led to pray for people as they come up, please come up and pray. But I tell you now, when I lay my hands on you, nothing will happen. There's nothing special about this hand that is going to impart the Holy Spirit, but it's as God sees fit. Do you seek the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you seek the Holy Spirit in your life more than you have now? Then come up to the front. Thank God for who you are in Him. Thank God for everything that He has given to you. And as people pray for you, Be open to what God is going to do in your life. Is going to do in your life. Because that's what God promises. Let's pray as the music starts. Lord God, I thank you for Pentecost. I thank you for that amazing picture in Acts 2. A picture that we would love to see happen in Belvedere. A picture that we would love to see happen in churches all over this country and all over this planet. But the remarkable thing is, it is happening now. That wasn't a picture for something that happened 2,000 years ago. That's a picture that happens now. As your people are willing, as your people are open, as your people are ready, your Holy Spirit will move in us and release gifts of Spirit. We ask for a pouring out of your Holy Spirit today. We ask for a pouring out of your Holy Spirit on people today, that we might be lifted up individually, we might be lifted up as a church, that we might have a purpose to know that we need to do something about it, to spread your good news in this world where there is such destruction happening and it's on our doorstep now. This world is crying out for you, Lord God, and we are the answer because of your Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us desires that you will have the glory, Lord. That you will have the glory in our lives. Pour out your Spirit, Lord God, that we might give you that glory in our workplace, in our neighbours, in our shops, everywhere we are, that we might spread the wonderful news of who you are in us and what you've given us. Bless us, Lord God, we pray. Be lifted up.